Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Packers Daily on Cheesehead TV and all of our social channels. Good to see you all already mixing it up in the comments. The NFL owners are meeting this week and will undoubtedly make the 17-game regular season a reality. As someone alluded to in the comments, I got to go back and see who it was. It was, I believe, Dawson asking, does anyone other than the owners want 17 games? Of course not. But that money that you just saw the NFL dial up for with the broadcast agreements, big part of that is because they are able to promise a 17th game and more revenue and expansion of the game, etc., media rights wise. It's all about the Benjamins. You guys know that. No one cares about the state of play, the quality of the play. They just want more reasons to put ads on television and make the owners rich. I'm sure you've seen a smattering of pushback from players on social media, including the Packers' Adrian Amos. But it's about to become a reality, so get used to it. And as far as I saw someone talking about statistical comparisons throughout eras, etc., I mean, that's always been part of the gig, though. I mean, this is the longest the league has not touched the number of games they've played in the history of the league in 100-plus years that they've been in existence. But, you know, I mean, you compare, say, Tom Brady to Bart Starr, you know, the number of games, the number of opponents, et cetera, you know, it's vastly different. But you can obviously say that Brady is not the actual GOAT. That would be Bart Starr, because that's apparent to me. All you got to do is look at the tape. Morning, everybody in the comments. Hope you're all well. Chad, it's all about the money. You got that right. Any chance we jump up and get Christian Barmore from Bama? Craig, I would be absolutely shocked. But... You can't rule out a trade up from Mr. Brian Gutekunst, because he's done it every single year so far as the man in charge of the Packers draft. And two, they've got 10 picks. They've got ammunition. If there's a guy they absolutely love, and maybe it's Barmore, then sure, that's a possibility. I think it's a very, 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 very slim possibility, but it's a possibility. Nags, when was Ted Thompson's trade up for Clay Matthews an all-time called shot for draft picks? I thought it was a great call. I'll never forget Favre Nation. I'll never forget being on the floor at Radio City, and I was walking from the back exit through like, because, you know, it's, you know, those media is at the front of the orchestra back in that day, and I was walking to get to my seat. I was going to the aisle, and all of a sudden they announced the Packers have traded, and they're on the clock. And this was after they had selected B.J. Raji. And I all of a sudden broke into a sprint. I was like, what? And then, yeah, the pick for Clay happened. And that's obviously the kind of thing we're talking about as far as having your eye on someone that you think can not only come in and make a difference right away, but kind of transform one side of the ball or the other. Maybe Barmore's that kind of guy. I would tend to doubt it, but you never know. But yes, that is one of the all-time great moves from Mr. Ted Thompson. No doubt about it. Why is Richard Sherman still on the market, and do you think he is a fit for us on a one-year deal? I do think he's a fit for the Packers on a one-year deal. They don't have any money to pay him at the moment. Now, maybe they could make some moves internally, restructuring-wise, to open up some money for him. But I suspect he's probably just being deliberate and taking his time, and there's no rush. You know, he'll something will come open for him. I have zero doubt. He's not going to have trouble finding a job. Vex, thanks for the super chat. The Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur system makes it easier for QBs. 49ers trading up for a quarterback. Does the system need an elite QB? I don't know if it needs one, but hey, you don't have to look much further than how Aaron Rodgers has looked 2 years into this system comparative to Jared Goff being in that system for 4 years and never looking much more than serviceable. He's had good stretches. There's no doubt about it. He's put up a ton of numbers, but I mean, I think the comparison is night and day, and that's a big reason why the 49ers want to get up there, is to try and get a quarterback with elite traits. Look at the Rams trading Goff for Matt Stafford to try and get a veteran quarterback with elite traits in this system. You know, the Packers have shown it's pretty damn deadly. So, is it necessary? Do you quote unquote need it? No, but I tell you what, every little bit helps. Every advantage, every part you can get that's better than just the run of the mill is obviously desirable. So I think you can be insanely productive in that system. I think those guys have shown that given the quarterbacks that they've had to work with. But You can get an Aaron Rodgers. You can get a Matt Stafford. You can get Zach Wilson, whoever. Do you want that? Preferably, yeah, 100%. I don't think that's ever going to change, regardless of what the system is, because things are always going to break down. There's always going to be off-schedule plays. There's always going to be stuff that doesn't go according to script. And when that happens, you'd much prefer to have a guy who doesn't short-circuit and can make something out of nothing. I think that nothing's going to change in that regard. What else we got? Merck, 1987, thanks for the super chat. With the shrinking of the cap, along with the paying of our excellent running back one, suggests that it might be likely that the Packers will trade down this year. Sorry if this question is a repeat. Well, it's not a repeat today. It has been something we've talked about, though. It makes a ton of sense, regardless of the cap situation. It makes a ton of sense to be trading down this year just because of the added uncertainty. Now, there's always uncertainty in the draft. Nothing is a given. That's always the case. But this year, there is less for personnel evaluators to go on than ever before, given the nature of the season that most of these guys are coming off. Some of them opted out, so there is no tape for them in 2020, along with no combine, no regular gathering of the athletic information. Now, there are tons of pro days going on, and obviously that's a bit of a kind of workaround and or substitute, but it's not complete, and you're at the mercy of the schools in that regard. I do think this is a year where I think trading down makes more sense than usual. And I think it always makes sense, but this year, I think probably more so, no doubt about it. Hey, Nags, what's your honest opinion on our draft and develop scheme? It seems we don't develop a lot of people out of the past five drafts. Well, I guess it depends on your expectations and what you consider development. I think they're doing a pretty damn good job. Nobody bats 1,000%. The problem with the Packers is, okay, draft and develop. You want to lean into that. That's great. You have to hit on more picks. Their hit rate is pretty normal considering the rest of the league. The problem is they have leaned into the development part so hard. Well, you need those guys to develop, whether it's Josh Jackson, whether it's Oren Burks. Those guys were premium picks. Those are day two picks that didn't work out for you. And that sets you back. I don't have a problem with draft and develop. Just need to hit on a few more picks. But other than that, I think they've done a pretty damn good job. Uncultured Barbarian, thanks for the super chat. Better Harry Belafonte song, Banana Boat or Jump in the Line? Ooh, Pappy's tip. They are always Pappy tips. Uncultured, that, wow. I mean, honestly, Jump in the Line. I got to be honest. I love Banana Boat, especially the version that he sings on The Muppet Show. Fozzie is fucking hilarious in that bit. Olive and I literally just watched that the other week when they put The Muppet Show up on Disney Plus. But Jump in the Line, I got to say, I have great fond memories of some dance parties to Jump in the Line. So I'm going to go with Jump in the Line on that one. Merck, no problem, man. Sometimes we develop undrafted free agents as well, Tremont, Shields, etc. Absolutely, Favre Nation. That's a great point. You know, there's no doubt. Look, Chris Barnes jumped up and was the fucking starting inside backer week one last year after being undrafted. You know, the problem is like, yes, we can develop guys who maybe later round picks or undrafted guys, etc. But it's very rare that those guys become starters and or stars. And I think most people look at name recognition as their kind of barometer for how the Packers are doing when it comes to, oh, well, they developed this guy who I am really familiar with and made a ton of plays for the Packers, etc. Well, that doesn't always necessarily equate to, okay, they're doing a good or a bad job. It can be something as simple as, Kingsley Keke, I think, is a good example of someone who is certainly looking like he's developing, maybe not at the rate we had hoped, maybe not as productive and or as disruptive as, you know, you were probably hoping going into last year. But you can't deny that he has flashed, and he certainly took a jump from year one to year two. Now, the hope is he makes that another stride into 2021 and maybe it gets a little bit more consistency to his game. But you can't deny that there was improvement there, you know, but that's incremental. And it's hard to, you know, make that into a piece of content and talk about how, oh, well, if you look at all 100 plus snaps in his rookie year comparative to his 100 plus snaps his sophomore year, well, you know, this is where the improvement is. And people just get bored and fall asleep. Trust me, I used to do that kind of thing. It just never, no one ever watches it. But like, that's the kind of thing where you hope that incremental progress continues and develops throughout their career. So by the time they hit that third or fourth year, they're really able to contribute. And if not, if they're not a starter, they're at least giving you quality minutes off the bench, so to speak, to use a basketball term in the middle of March Madness. Where I get crazy is when they do that, they draft and they develop a guy and then they let him walk. That's where, like the Micah Hyde situation, you guys know, that will always kind of blow my mind. You know, he was the poster child for a guy you should have signed, that you developed. Those are the weird ones. Brandon, do you think LaFleur keeps close tabs on the defensive coordinator from now on, or lets him do his thing like he did with Patton? Oh, no, Brandy. He's going to be in his hip pocket. That is a big part of this hire, is Matt's fingerprints are going to be all over the defense, and they are going to be in lockstep. And I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of, okay, you handle the defense. It is going to be, okay, here's what I want on defense. I think that relationship is going to be very different than it was with Mike Patton, no doubt about it. Wonder if the Packers will draft Rondell Moore. His speed was compared to Tyreek Hill. I would love that. But the Packers seem to hate speed. I don't know what it is. Every year we look at players who have elite speed. And every year the Packers pick the 6'2", really big, kind of slow guy. I don't know, man. I'm all for it. Give them some speed. Speed kills. I got the need. The need for speed. Give Aaron Rodgers some speed on the outside, in the slot. I don't care where it happens. Give him some speed. Give the offense some speed. Give the defense some speed. Just add to the overall team speed. Brian, why do you hate speed? I'd love to know. All right, that's my entreaty on speed, because I don't know. It's mystifying. I don't get it. Packer brass never forgave Hyde for the dropped interception his rookie year. The man is literally still tied for the franchise lead in punt returns for touchdowns with Desmond Howard. It's a true story. He was so good and so versatile and did so much. I know. I got to let it go. Thoughts on Cordell Patterson? Fine player. I'd love him in green and gold, but I doubt they make that move. I think he's going to get paid, and the Packers have no money. They'll try to probably draft someone day three to fill the returner role. But I'd love Cordell as a returner. The problem is then is, do you want him to contribute on offense too? Maybe they throw him in as a wrinkle, so to speak. But I don't know. MVS is tall and speedy, though. Yeah, big L. MVS has got speed for days, no doubt about it. He's also got like one route. I know we all talk about how, you know, his route running improved and all that stuff. And it did. There's no doubt about it. But he's got one route. You know, he's got that. He just takes off. And whether it's a straight line thing, whether it's the deep over, you know, he's not operating in short bursts. He's not a quick twitch guy. You know, I love him, though. You guys know I love him. Been defending him for damn 3 years. I love the guy. Nothing wrong with adding speed, though. Never anything wrong with that. With re-signing Kevin King, do you think Caleb Farley could be in play at 29 and then grab another corner in the mid rounds? Sure. Absolutely. I don't think there's any question they're going to be looking at corner hard in this draft. They have to. Now where that falls, I have no idea. It could be early in the draft. It could be late in the draft. Maybe they go day three corners like they've done with running back and wide receiver in previous years. But yeah, that is definitely an option. No question about it. Fred, thanks for the super chat. In my opinion, Goody hasn't done as well drafting as Ted Thompson, but I get the verdict is still out on J-Lo, and can you explain Pappy's fund? Lot to unpack there. Okay. Brian's still early days, though. I mean, everyone's so quick to want to rush and judge his drafts. Like 2018, yeah, you got Jair, premier player at the position in the league. And then you got a lot of misses, no doubt about it. After that, it's too early to judge. Like, you're still in year three for most of these. Not even in year three for some of the drafts. I mean, Savage, Gary, Jenkins, those are adding up as far as some pretty damn nice draft picks. But he's got a couple holes there early, no doubt about it. But can we just let it play out a little bit? Especially if we're comparing him to Ted Thompson, who had a decade plus of drafts to look at. That's my thing. I mean, yeah, it's fine to kind of, you know, look at it and say, oh, I wish you would have taken this guy or whatever. I totally get that. That's the gig. And that's what people do. But for me, it's like, can we just let it play out a little bit? Especially if we're talking about drafts. And as you point out, with last year's draft, it's all about Jordan Love. If Jordan Love is a hit, then it's a hit draft. And if he's a miss, then, oh boy, he better hope that everyone else in that draft becomes at least a contributor, if not a starter. As far as Pappy's Fund, when we were on one of the watch parties last year, I can't remember which one it was, I made a quip to Corey Banky, our co-founder, that if, I can't even remember what it was, like if something happened, we would celebrate by having a, and I think it was, I said I would celebrate by having a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle on set. And Corey said, there's no way I'm buying you a bottle of Pappy's. And then people started contributing via Super Chat for the quote Pappy's Fund, which really isn't a real thing if we're being honest here. I mean, yes, it's at this point, we've got to have like probably upwards of $800-$900 worth of earmarked Super Chats for Pappy's Fund. But just a fun way to help contribute to my alcoholism is essentially what it is. It's all good. Gadget player Irvin going to go to the Bills. I know he visited. I haven't seen that he is signed, but I know he's made the visit. We'll see. I love Tyler Irvin in this offense. I know he's been dealt with injuries pretty much his whole NFL career, and maybe the Packers are ready to move on because of it, but I'd love to see him back. And like I said, as far as I know, he has not signed yet with Buffalo. I know he made a visit, though. Packers 2015 was the worst. Name one other worst draft class for the Packers in your recent memory. Big Al, yeah, that was a rough one. In Ted's defense, though, and this is true, you can look it up. Go look at everybody else's draft in 2015. 2015 in general across the league was pretty piss poor. So yes, Ted had an awful draft, no question. But a lot of the league did too. That's my only note to that one. Do we all get a shot of Pappy? Sure, if you want to go buy yourself one. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Do I think Funchess can be the number two? I don't think the Packers offense operates like that. It's not Madden. You got to remember, it's not about slotting guys in 1, 2, 3, 4. It's about 5 eligibles. Now, obviously, Davante Adams is always going to be the primary wide receiver. There's zero doubt about that. After that, it's always going to be guys who are interchangeable and you're able to work in any different kind of combination. Now, can he fit in to that combination? Yes, 1,000,000,000%. But as far as like being the number two, I mean, hell, I would posit that Aaron Jones is probably more the number two than anybody in the wide receiving group. Maybe MVS develops into a number two target as far as just number of targets. But it's much more about how can you mix and match the wide receivers, the tight ends, and the running backs than it is ever going to be about the depth chart numbers for the wide receivers. That is just how this offense operates. Uncultured, thanks for the super chat. Oh, ye of little faith, we will get there eventually, and you better get a papologist on the Cheesehead TV roster. Hashtag Pappy's Dip. Thanks, Uncultured. I love it. Stanley, thanks for the super chat. Cordell Patterson to the Packers. We just talked about that, Stanley. Unless you're breaking news here that I didn't see. The Packers return every single wide receiver and tight end, plus Aaron Jones, to last year's NFL leading offense, plus Funchess might be an addition. Do not expect a wide receiver in round one, people. It will be an offensive tackle or cornerback or defensive line. Brian, I agree with the idea that you shouldn't expect a wide receiver, but not because of anything that happened last year, mostly because they haven't drafted a wide receiver in the first round since Javon Walker. And that was when a lot of you were in diapers. So, yeah, I don't suspect that they will draft a wide receiver at 29. However, the one caveat there is, you know, it is 29. That is almost the second round. So it wouldn't be crazy if they drafted a wide receiver there if the value is there. But yes, I suspect they will be targeting an offensive tackle, defensive tackle, or a corner, most likely. But you never know. TKM, thanks for the super chat. Here's $5 for the fake Pappy Fund. Thanks, TKM. Good to see you at your post. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on Packers Daily on Cheesehead TV's social channels. It really means a lot that you guys spend any amount of time with Cheesehead TV, talking Packers with me. I can't believe that people actually show up each and every day. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on this video and subscribe to the channel. And if you really want to support what we do, please consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon page, patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. It supports everything we do with the brand. As I always say, we are one of the few places, if not the only place, that covers the Packers that has no corporate backing, no big-time donors, no big-time money behind us. We are a complete bootstrap operation, and that Patreon support really kind of does kind of prop up everything we do. And I can't express how much it means that so many people already have chosen to do it, and we get new Patreon members almost every day. Speaking of Patreon, Patreon Happy Hour, Wednesday, 6 p.m. It's going to be a lot of fun. And also, trivia is almost here, people. Get your trivia hats ready, because Cheesehead TV Trivia, I think, will be live this week. If not this week, definitely next week. But we're hoping this week. But hey, if you can't... if you can't jump on Patreon, I totally get it, but please do hit like on this video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack Go.